The following podcast is presented to you by the BICBP Radio Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Push Start Podcast. My name is Matt Johnson, one of your hosts, alongside, as always,
it's your boy, C-Ham, a.k.a. the nerd, a.k.a. the world heavyweight champion of live broadcast. What's up, everybody?
How is everyone doing? You might notice that we are without a third member, Caddy.
Oh, wait, I got to bring some darkness for him.
Yeah, do it. Because we had a fire Caddy. He's coming back next week, but we had a fire Caddy for this week.
Nah, shout out to my boy. We know what he's out there doing right now.
Yeah, he's having a good time. The dude works so hard. Even in the days where he wasn't part of the podcasting team, He was still right there with us every single time.
Yep, coming up with the information.
Holding up words on science to help us get us through sentences.
Right.
He's
fact-checking for us in the middle of the streams and stuff. Like, vital.
Very invaluable, I think, is the word. It's, you know, correct word for what Caddy's meant to us in this process of podcasting. So for he's sure. Earned a week off. He's going to see the Dragon Ball Z Broly. I'm not a big Dragon Ball Z guy.
Yeah, it's a really big deal because for a long time, Broly wasn't, as you say, canon with the Dragon Ball Z universe. So this movie really shows his tie into everybody else.
Okay.
So it's a pretty freaking big deal.
That's cool. Yeah. No, that sounds like a good time for, you know, the diehard Dragon Ball Z fans. I know the theater's packed right now.
Yeah.
I've seen everyone showing off their tickets, so.
For sure. And they have them in a bunch of different obscure locations, too. Shout out to North Park Theater over in Buffalo. Like, they always have the little obscure showings of, like, the animes and, like, when they had the Killing Joke.
Yes.
They had that there, too. So, shout out to little spots like that in your hometown.
I love that. That's so good. Let's see, video gaming this week. I popped in the Resident Evil 2 demo one shot. I know, Christian, you plan on playing that soon.
Yeah, I literally downloaded it this morning. I had to make sure. Like, everyone's been talking about it in my feed, so I'm like,
it's incredible. Can't be left out. No, you can't. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I pre-ordered it right before I got it. Being a huge Resident Evil fan, yeah, I think it was due. I was going to get the game one way or another.
Right.
The game does come out right the day before my wedding, so I might have a little time in the morning while the fiance's at work. I know I'll be off on every Friday. Lit. So I'm going to take advantage and play it, the full game. The demo was absolutely incredible. I won't spoil too much to you, but
shout out to your article on WordPress, by the way.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you guys didn't know, Push Start, as well as some of our other podcasts, are starting a WordPress website where we're going to do articles, and I've been pushing out quite a few. I know Christian's chomping at the bit to get started.
Yeah, I actually have two that I'm like
working
that are partially written.
Oh, good.
Once I complete them, I'm just going to pop them right on there because I downloaded the app.
Oh, good. Yeah, I do it. I do it on my phone and on the laptop. Depends on where I am. So that's awesome. No, it's fun. It gives it an extra layer to our show. We have tons of opinions. Me and Christian,
for sure,
very opinionated. We're very passionate about what we do with Push Start Podcast. But our shows are themed. Our podcast episodes are pretty much themed every time. So you might not get to cover something. You know, if you I think back, like if we were doing the WordPress articles about a month ago when CTR was announced,
right, dude,
we would have had we both would have had an article
for sure.
Easily.
I would have probably had like my top 10 favorite levels or like characters or something.
Yeah.
I would have done something
super deep like that. That's what it's all about. And the thing is, too, I never went to school. Oh, I did do some college, but it wasn't for any writing or anything.
Right.
But anybody could do it. It's literally us expressing ourselves in written form, not so much verbal, but written.
For sure.
And
I think you did an exceptional job, my friend, for someone who has
that.
Not gone to any fancy schmancy pan school or anything.
No, I appreciate that very much.
Very well written.
It was nerve-wracking. I've been wanting to do it because I think our network will benefit from it. Of all the shows,
absolutely,
or at least most of the shows will do it.
Absolutely.
So I do one for the 2-Point Conversation. I started one up for Panel Discussion, which Christian, you are more than welcome to, you know, partake in comic book articles as well.
Absolutely.
I know you got the invite, so yeah, you are more than welcome to do that. So look out for those. We post them on the Gameheads website or our Facebook page, and we post on the other Facebook pages as well as our personal pages.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, so this, if you've been paying attention every week, you kind of know that we have a rotation as far as to what we're picking. And last week we had a great N64 episode with an even better interview with Tyler Schrote of the Electronic Gaming Federation. And it went really well. Tyler was great, and we learned a lot, and it was cool to relate to him on the level that we did.
Yeah, I love all the things that he and his team are doing for gaming and using it to help people cope with things that you're going through in life.
Yes.
You know. No. So it's really important to show how relatable video gaming can be to, you know, things in society that bother you.
Yeah, 100%. And he's built up a great company that's getting, you know, being added to more and more high schools and colleges across the country.
Beautiful.
So I love it. I love it that gaming culture is becoming more accepted.
For sure.
Nowadays, and like you said, like he said as well, treatable for social anxiety and all sort of depression and all sorts of things. It's a good turn of events. But this week is Christian's choice.
Woo!
Woo!
So, yeah, I'm really happy anyway. I just had to let that Ric Flair out. Because, by the way, shout out to me winning HQ Sports today because it was WWE. Finally, my knowledge of wrestling has went to something. I won 21 whole cents.
21 cents, baby. Adds up.
Well, technically, we won 42 cents because Bree won as well. Off of, you know.
That's right.
My knowledge. And that's yours as well. Because you came off on the back end with a little bit.
I literally showed up and I was put on the spot. But I'm like, hey, let me do what I can.
We got that dub, though.
Yes, we did.
But yeah, today I'm going to do what we're going to do. My pick was, you know, a game that's very near and dear to my heart. Anybody that knows, you know, or follows me on Facebook or Instagram or anything, you'll see tons of footage and screenshots of these games all throughout my video gaming career. But Assassin's Creed, especially because the characters. I'm big on character development, and I feel like, for the most part, this game does really, really well with them.
No, they do. And it is cool that you brought it up, too, because if you haven't checked out the episode last week, we had Christian and Caddy on the panel discussion.
Yeah.
And Christian reviewed a God of War book, and he brought up the fact that he admires history so much, you know, Greek stuff, and which is the
mythology.
God of War or originated from. And mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed is essentially like that. They do a really good job of incorporating historical places, moments.
Religion and
people,
stuff like that, too.
It's actually incredible. I played a few games. I haven't played them all.
Yeah.
But I love history as well. And it was cool. I played, I think, Liberation, which was the one in the American Revolution, which that's one of my favorite. Colonial times is one of my favorite time periods in American history. And one of them for the PSP, I think it was Bloodlines, but it dealt with the Third Crusade,
mm-hmm.
which is medieval times and old world. Like you said, the super religious.
Yeah, how can you not love that?
It's
super fun.
It is. It
like,
is.
And just think of the weaponry and the armor and stuff of those time periods.
They do
iconic.
A fantastic job
mm-hmm.
of blending it all together.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about Assassin's Creed just in general. Like, it's one thing to say that you're going to portray this sort of era or, you know, try and make a video game come alive in that time period without living in it, you know?
Yeah.
It goes to show the level of detail and research that these developers went into when coming up with these schemes and things for these video games.
Oh, I'd imagine they have to research quite a bit. I mean, they did take very popular, time periods, historical time periods. And
for sure.
Made it. So with that, they had to go into great detail. The settings are just absolutely amazing, and each one feels unique, and it feels like it's from its own time. Like I said, the American Revolution, which was, oh Christ, what was the Liberation?
Liberation.
That's a favorite time period of mine. I love colonial times in American history. I've researched it and read on it, and it was cool because I got to see that. I will never ever see a actual photograph of that time period because pictures didn't exist.
Right.
What the team who did, was it Ubisoft?
Yep.
Who designed that game, designed Assassin's Creed, went into detail, knew what that, you know, things looked like in that time period,
mm-hmm.
and they put it out there, and I loved every bit of it.
Vivid detail, too.
Incredibly.
When you're looking at the weaponry and all the different types of armor and things like that, I pop for stuff like that for sure. Like, those are the things that really catch my eye, like, especially, you know, when you're able to personalize your character and look a certain way, like, that's what I'm on. I'm trying to be, like, flossing and shining. Like, I'm the world heavyweight champion of live broadcasting. Yeah. I love gold.
Yeah, you do.
So, I mean, why not have on gold in the game?
That's right.
Assassin's Creed does really well with that.
So for those who've never played any of the games, and I'm not just talking about like a story of the first one or any of them, what is Assassin's Creed? How are they able to jump these characters into different points in time?
Okay, well, the basic premise of it is you're searching into your ancestor. You're using your memories to find like deep, deep rooted memories that you don't have access to that have lines and ties to your ancestors. So there's like Templars and things like that. So they use this machine called the Animus. I think the first guy that they used it on was Desmond Miles, I believe his name was. Fact check me on that later. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And the Animus was used by a company called Abstergo. And they're trying to find out this information. And they're using it to find different artifacts.
It was Desmond Miles. I'm sorry to interrupt. Yes, it was Desmond Miles.
Yeah, because he's in a few of the games, actually, because there's parts where you can actually use him when you're outside of the Animus.
Okay.
But not so much in the early games. But, it's really weird. Like, it's kind of hard to describe without actually playing it. But essentially, you're getting in, like, a VR-like device, and while you're in there, they're accessing your memories that tie to your ancestors. So you're basically playing as them.
Right.
But it's like you're controlling it.
That's crazy.
So it's pretty interesting.
It'd be the future video game if you really think about it.
Honestly, it definitely is foreshadowing to what technology could be, depending on if it's handled properly.
Very true. All right, so the very first Assassin's Creed came out in November of 2007 for the PS3 and Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And
the year after I graduated high school.
Crazy, you old man, you. I did play a little bit of it. I didn't so much play this one as I did Liberation or the other ones, but they did a really good job. I was actually a huge Prince of Persia mm-hmm. fan. I played the first one a bunch, a little bit of the second one, a lot of the third.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
And they took a lot of the game mechanics from that, and mm-hmm. and eventually, you know, they added their own stuff to it.
Yeah.
You know, like the running on walls. And
it was a lot more open world, too. Just the traversal of
so
different
much. It
landscapes.
Wasn't, Assassin's Creed's not as much as linear as Prince of Persia was. There was a lot more freedom to it.
For sure.
Absolutely.
That was my favorite thing about it. Like, granted, looking back after I played the later games, the first one was kind of bad.
Archaic.
Yeah, it was kind of bad because you were pretty much doing the same thing over and over again. But at the time, there was no other game doing that. So it was like so cool. Like when you first jump off that building and land in the hay bale, like, come on. Tell me that wasn't a cool moment. Like I was just like peeing my pants the whole way down. I'm like, what? Is this how we travel? What's going on? Oh.
Yeah.
He's okay.
That was a regular thing.
Yeah.
Because you can't do that in Grand Theft Auto, which was another popular open world game at that time.
Absolutely not.
So
if you did, you'd be wasted. But yeah, that was really cool. Like, and even though they weren't ninjas per se, the way they did things was very like ninja-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love games like that. Like anybody that knows me knows I'm huge on Splinter Cell. Like I love those espionage type games where you can sneak up on your enemies and like use your environment to your advantage to, you know, get leverage over your opponent. And I always feel like that's very ninja-like because that's what they do. They don't waste any range of motion or anything like that. It's swift. It's technical.
It's incredibly stealthy.
Yeah. And
yes.
I love stuff like that. So Assassin's Creed, you can do it both ways. You can just run out there and just like
fight.
You know,
the fighting mechanic is it's pretty simple, but
yeah,
it works. You know, I've survived battles against 3-4
yeah
people, and you can scatter, but. Yeah, there was a lot of cool functionality with it. I know there was an ability to just like walk around like a normal person. Like mm-hmm. if you held a certain button, you'd walk around with like your hands together.
Yeah, you blend in with the crowd and everything
and stuff
like that.
To like decrease awareness. But
yeah, it's pretty cool. I love the Hidden Blade. That was like
yes
the introduction of that. I don't feel like if any game has used that before, it wasn't as important as it is to the Assassin's Creed series.
Right,
like. When they introduced that to me, I think when I saw that in the commercials and things like that, that was big for me. Now, Assassin's Creed marketing was huge for that. The commercials, like when you just see Altair just walking through the crowd and you see all these hooded people and he just, you know, you just see somebody drop and I'm like, what?
Super discreet.
Yeah, that just took me right in. I was like, whatever this game is, as soon as it comes out, I need to be all up on that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. Because I've played all of them pretty much for the major consoles.
Yeah, I know there's a few handhelds.
Yeah, there's a bunch of the handheld ones I never even touched. But
so looking at it, what was the plot of the first one?
It's a little weird. Hold on, let me go back. Because it's a little. I'm gonna admit something. The Assassin's Creed's storyline is a little confusing at times.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's just so many different points that they're trying to make, and I think it just sometimes it just doesn't make any sense. But
I got the Wikipedia up right here. Let's see. I'll read it off the Wikipedia.
Yeah, because I know the main character is Altair, but I forgot.
Yeah, well, Desmond. Yeah, he in this case Altair. So in this one it says game primarily takes place in the Third Crusade in the Holy Land in the year 1191, with the plot revolving around the Secret Order of Assassins, based upon the Hessian sect. The player is in reality playing as a modern day man named Desmond Miles, who through the use of the machine, the Animus, is allowed the viewing and controlling of the protagonist's genetic memories of his ancestors. In this case, Altair. So, through this plot device, details emerge of a struggle between two factions, the Knights Templar and the Assassins, over an artifact known as the Apple of Eden.
There it is.
An ancient artifact used to control minds. So, that's pretty much the plot of it. Yeah, I mean, it's really, really good. And how long, do you remember the length of the game? Like, was it a fairly decent length?
The thing that makes it the Assassin's Creed series in general good is the replayability.
Okay.
Because it's one of those games where you can find like a bunch of side quests and you have a bunch of little trinkets and items that you can find and artifacts that you can locate. But the main story, it wasn't that long.
Wasn't that long?
The first game, no. See, I'm not big on the first one. My favorite character is the next up, which is Ezio.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. He is the most popular one of the series. Yeah.
He's my favorite, and I feel like that's when the game really hit its stride and was like, yeah, we got something cooking here. They really started taking advantage of how different Assassin's Creed was from everything else.
Right.
So
I gotcha. All right, next game that was released, also based on the Third Age, was Assassin's Creed Altair's Chronicles, which it was out for the Nintendo DS and a couple mobile games, and
it probably tied up a bunch of loose ends in between.
It did. It added a couple new cities to the game. It says, all right. Unlike the original Assassin's Creed, the game is not told through the perspective of Desmond Miles, but rather the perspective of Altair. Let's see. It actually takes place a year before 1190 AD.
It's on some prequel.
1190 AD, during the Third Crusade, Crusaders clash with Saracens for the control of the holy city, Jerusalem. Altair is tasked by Al-Mualim. I'm not going to try and say that name.
That was perfect, actually.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Okay, not bad. To retrieve the chalice, it is said to have the power to unite all factions and end the Third Crusade in victory for the side that possesses it. However, the chalice is too powerful and must be found and destroyed. So, That's pretty much the plot. Yes, it takes place a year, so it's a little prequel.
I have a DS. I might have to see what it's about.
It's probably worth it. Yeah. DS games are not bad at all. Mm-mm. So there was that. All right, and the one after that, Assassin's Creed Bloodlines, also takes place during the Third Crusade. And back in the year 1191 AD, yes, this is the one I played for PlayStation Portable. This was my first taste of Assassin's Creed, and I got it for Christmas and absolutely loved every bit of the game. So much fun. The plot here, beginning shortly after the end of the first game, Altair learns of a plan of the remaining Templars to escape to Cyprus, and so infiltrates one of their strongholds in Acre to stop them from doing so. Although he does not succeed in this regard, he does defeat and capture Maria Thorpe, who attempted to avenge her former master, Robert de Sable, who died at Altair's hands. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's cool that it follows up. So it gives you, I mean, these extra games, it gives you a prequel and a sequel to it, so you can kind of figure out what's going on. I do like that.
That's kind of cool that they really try to tie up those loose ends.
That's really cool. Yeah, this was just playing it, I played it really for the playability, not because I knew anything about the Assassin's Creed story at the time.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, so good. All right, the next one, the one you're very familiar with, out in 2009, taking place during the Italian Renaissance.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed 2.
Assassin's Creed 2, taking place from 1476 to 1499 AD.
Ezio Auditore di Firenze.
All right, so this is your favorite one?
It's not my favorite one, but he's my favorite character.
Okay, yeah. I gotcha.
He's my favorite character out of all the different assassins you're able to use. I don't know. It was something about his swagger. He really, I don't know. He was just, he was such an assassin. He really, he rode for the assassins. Like, whatever need be done, he was doing it.
Right.
So he was really all in.
Yeah, he's kind of, when people talk Assassin's Creed, 90% of the time, they're, you know, the first person they have in mind is Ezio.
Yeah.
So,
it's just that when I saw that cover, it was so iconic with him just standing there with the double hidden blade.
I'm looking at it right now. It's beautiful. It's a great cover.
Man, when I saw that double hidden blade, I was like, wait, what? Two? Chill. That changed everything.
Changed everything.
And one thing I always loved about Assassin's Creed, they always drop around my birthday. So it's an easy gift from you.
That is true.
They always drop in like November.
They do seem to. I think they have what? They had one in July this year, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that doesn't
They dropped
count.
Two. It was.
Did they? Yeah, that's right. They did.
Yeah, it's. I'm not used to Assassin's Creed dropping that many games that close together.
They do have a lot of games out, which is
But the thing
insane.
Is, one thing that people don't know, or they maybe just don't realize, is that Ubisoft has a lot of different studios. They have, Ubisoft Montreal.
Okay.
They have a bunch of different ones that work on Assassin's Creed. That's why I feel like there's such distinct differences between them.
Between the playability and stuff. That makes sense. Let's see. This one is set in a fictional history setting and follows the centuries-old struggle between the assassins who fight for peace with free will and the Knights of Templars who desire peace through control. The framing story is set in the 21st century and follows Desmond Miles as he relives the genetic memories of his ancestor Ezio Auditore de Firenze. The main narrative takes place at the height of the Renaissance in Italy during the 15th and 16th century. Players can explore Florence, Venice, Tuscany, and Forli. See, that's cool because I will never be able to see those places.
And they look so good. Like, it's such vivid detail. Like, even if you go back and play Assassin's Creed 2 and 3, I feel like they aged very well.
Yeah?
Yeah, they look really good now still.
I'm going to have to look up some game film.
Yeah, and you can do missions for Leonardo da Vinci. It's sick.
That's what I love.
They have so many different, they show, different inventions and things that are connected to these people. So it's
can't imagine some of the stuff in that game.
It's so intriguing.
I love
all
it.
The different areas you can travel to, too, like the churches and things like that. Man, the architecture, you can tell they really went deep into detail when they were researching these.
I bet. I was so jealous. A couple years ago, my fiance, her sister is a flight attendant.
Yeah.
So they get free flights. And they flew to Italy.
That's dope.
And spent a week or two in Italy, traveling around. They'd stay at hostels and stuff. And, you know, she got to see all this stuff. And Italy is, they're, you know, the buildings that I would imagine are in this game, have withstood the test of time. They've been maintained, and they're still all there, at least the primary ones.
Mm-hmm.
So she got to see all that in person.
That's fucking sick.
I would appreciate seeing this in just in video game form, at least, because I've seen pictures. Italy's beautiful. I would love to take my camera there sometime and photograph it.
Oh, we will.
I hope
we
so.
We shall.
We should.
Video gaming will take us there. You heard it here first. What episode is this?
Oh, crap.
It was like 30-something.
Let me look that up. We got a lot of episodes now, too.
Yeah, it's close to 40.
Let me see.
I think we got to be between like 36 and 39.
Let's draw this up real quick.
Yeah, but now one thing that I love that they added in this game that was way more relevant than in the...
32. This episode right now is going to be 33.
Let's get it. So episode 33, you heard it here first. Mark it down. Video gaming is going to take us to Italy. But yeah, you could dye Ezio's clothing to different colors. So this is when you can... You didn't just have to walk around with a white robe.
That's got your name all written all over it.
Bro, I had every every color robe you could possibly buy, I bought. Like, I bought them all. I really did.
Now, was it microtransactions, or could you actually just buy it?
It was just like currency from, you know, doing stuff in the game.
That's important. I figured if, was it 2K? 2K would make you pay for each different robe.
They would. They totally would. They'll make you pay for, like, every jersey.
Scheming bastards.
Dirtbags.
All right.
Yeah, but the NPCs were way smarter in this game. Like,
were they?
Yeah, fighting was a lot more difficult.
Okay.
Which I loved, because I felt like it was so stale and repetitive in the first game. It was refreshing to see, like, the NPCs do different techniques. So, like, you can tell they were really trying to work on polishing the hand-to-hand combat in Assassin's Creed 2.
Good. Yeah, it sounds like it was an amazing game. Looks like it was an amazing game. There's a second one. Well, Assassin's Creed 2 Discovery, which was a Nintendo DS game.
Dude, I gotta grab these DS Assassin's Creed games.
It seems like
they know.
They really utilize the... the handhelds. Let's see. In the year 1491, while in the midst of searching for the Apple of Eden, the assassin Ezio Auditore de Firenze was summoned by the Venetian Thieves Guild leader Antonio de Magianis to assist in the dilemma of his contact from Spain. Representing the navigator Christopher Columbus, Lewis asked, asked Ezio for his protection, fearing that the company he kept bore ill fate against him. Though reluctant at first, Ezio agreed to assist once he heard of Christopher's connection with the Spaniard, Rodrigo Borgia. So, that's pretty cool for a handheld game, I'd say.
I might have to see what it's about.
See, there's two more that came out.
Yeah, see, in this I found the list of all the different.
You got it?
Ubisoft. There's Ubisoft Montreal, there's Annecy, Sofia, Milan, Quebec, Toronto, Gameloft, Griptonite Games, and Blue Byte, all under Ubisoft.
Wow.
Yeah, so they have...
Did you say Milan? One.
Yep.
So that probably helped out big with this game.
7, 8, 9. There's 9 different developers.
That's insane.
So
what a squad.
They squatted up over there.
That Milan,
that's probably
one,
huge.
Probably helped out big with this Italian Renaissance one.
And also that's one thing that I feel like Assassin's Creed needs big credit on, because the language.
Right.
They're speaking, a lot of these characters are speaking the actual, Italian or wherever you are. They're speaking their actual language.
Right.
In all of these games.
It's incredibly authentic.
Yeah.
In that manner. That's awesome. All right. So we get Assassin's Creed 2 Discovery, and then there's Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. And Assassin's Creed Revelations, which all came out for PS3.
Brotherhood was cool.
Oh, no. Revelations came out for PS4 and Xbox One, where... Brotherhood came out for PS3 and Xbox 360.
Yeah, and they re-released it for 4, but
okay.
I didn't play the upconverted version. I have the actual PS3 of it. Brotherhood was a good one, too. That was one where they added additional characters and whatnot, and you can do the... I believe the online was on the Brotherhood, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2010, it's probably right that period. They had a Microsoft... Windows and... OS X, so they were on computers as
well. Yeah, that's what it was. They had the multiplayer mode, too.
So cool. So cool.
Those are just ones that really extend the story more about Ezio. They're not, like, main games. They're like in between.
Bunch of side ones, but yes, I mean, he gets four games total where he's playable in. So I'm sure that's helped to his lore.
Yeah, Ezio is, man, the way he, not to spoil anything, but the way he goes down like a true assassin. That's why I straight up respect that, man.
So good. All right. Next one, next era of in here is the colonial era, starting with Assassin's Creed 3, which there's Assassin's Creed 3, and then there's Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation. So I'm not sure how that played out storyline. I did play Liberation. Like I said, I was a big fan of the colonial era stuff there.
Wait, hold on. I think that was just... No, the Liberation was the... I'm pretty sure that was the PSP one.
Oh, it has it right here for PS3, Xbox 360, Liberation, and regular number 3.
Yeah, that one I think that was the one with the chick.
Yes.
That's the one you played?
Okay. That's the one I played, yep.
Okay. That's not the one I'm thinking of. Okay. I didn't play that one. I'm thinking of the original Assassin's Creed 3.
Okay.
The one with Connor. I think he's the main character in that one. He's like Native American.
This is half English, yep, half Mohawk ancestor. Something, 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 also known as Connor.
Yeah. See, now, this is one of my least favorite ones, and I hate to say it because they did so many things right in this game, but they did so much wrong. Like, the area was big and beautiful and worth looking at, but there was nothing to do in a lot of these areas. So it was a big, beautiful, open world with
nothing
in it. Like, I mean... You could hunt and like get these, get the pelts or get the feathers or whatever you were looking for. But that once you did that, it was just like a big giant forest of nothing. So I mean,
that's disappointing.
Yeah, that game was. I just did the main story and then I never played it again. I just was like, all right, I'm done with this one.
I gotcha. Yeah, Liberation was pretty fun. There was a lot more to do. They might have upped it a little bit. It did come out a year later than the original.
Ubisoft Montreal dropped the ball with that one.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Fortunately, the next game picked it up because it went back to the... it went to a different developer. I think Black Flag was made by... No. No, actually, the other one wasn't Montreal. Montreal picked this one up, and
okay,
that's where it started getting good again. Because Black Flag is also nice.
That's what, like pirates and stuff. That's one that dealt with.
That's probably my second favorite one.
Okay.
And the character in there too. He's dope. Kenway. He's a jerk too. And the thing that's cool about his story is he didn't even want to be an assassin. He got accidentally thrust into a life he wasn't ready for.
Right.
It just happened. He just so happened to be in the right place at the right time kind of thing.
I gotcha.
So, like, his storyline was really cool to follow.
That's so cool. Yeah, it takes place in 18th century Caribbean during the Golden Age of Piracy. Follows notorious Welsh pirate Edward Kenway.
Dude, he's dope, too, because that game, you get to actually use your ship. Like, you can do ship battles and stuff like that, too. There's, like, specific areas of the map that you best not go in if your ship is not up to snuff. Because they have, like, boss ships that just swarm you as soon as you go up in their water space.
That's so cool.
Dude, that game is dope. And there's, like, so many different islands that you can go to. And, like, one thing that I really loved about that game was they utilized the underwater aspect really well. Like swimming and trying to find treasure and stuff like that. You can really go underwater and like traverse these areas. It's super beautiful. Like if there's one that you're going to just pick up and just play explore, snatch that one up.
I might have to. I need something new to play.
Yeah, it's really solid. Like, and his story is really nice too. And they have a nice, now this is one of those ones where it was a DLC that was worth it because it's like playing a totally different game because you're playing it from a perspective of this guy that was that interacted with Kenway. He was originally a slave and Kenway helped free him and he ended up getting a spin-off game of his own where he becomes an assassin as well. So
that's so cool.
It's fucking sick.
That's really cool.
The way they tie it in together because you see elements of Kenway's story in his story and you just see it from his perspective. So it's really sick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. And it's really cool, too. I'm liking this theme of the Knights Templars, who are kind of like this. You know, they're obviously reoccurred in a couple different time periods at this point.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a New World Order type thing.
Exactly.
They're trying to, and I think that's a really fun aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the assassins versus them the whole time.
Yeah.
Which...
It's really like on some Ronin Warrior type stuff.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's so good. Let's see. We got a couple other ones here for the colonial era. There was Assassin's Creed Pirates, which is for the Windows, Android, and iOS.
Never played that one.
There is Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry.
Now, that's the one I'm talking about with the... That's the content.
Okay.
That's the other character.
Okay.
I forgot his name, but I think it's like Adewale or something like that.
Yeah, you nailed it. I just clicked on it. Adewale.
Yeah, that dude, man. Oh my God, his weapon. He's a beast in that game. I just remember, like, because he gets a different kind of. He gets like this machete. Like, he doesn't get a sword. He has like a machete. So like when he hits you, it like it hits hard. I remember that, dude. I got to go back and play that game.
You should. Man,
fire.
You should. Well, and then there's one more from the colonial era, and we're going to take a quick commercial break after that, is Assassin's Creed Rogue. You play that one at all?
No, I never played that one either.
Yeah, PS3, Xbox 360, PS4, Xbox One. We'll read the plot real quick.
I'm looking at the cover. It doesn't look familiar to me.
Let's see. Shea Patrick Cormac is a new recruit to the Colonial Brotherhood of Assassins whose potential is offset by his insubordination. While training with the North Atlantic chapter under the assassin mentor Achilles Davenport, he encounters the assassin Adewale, who brings news that the Haitian city of Port-au-Prince has been devastated by an earthquake during the search for a precursor temple containing a piece of Eden. With his experience captaining ships, including the recently acquired Morrigan, Cormac is enlisted in an investigation into Templar interests in a precursor artifact and manuscript there linked to the temple.
I love how they connected those two.
That's so cool.
Look at Assassin's Creed does that so freaking well, man.
They did. They really chained together games from each generation, each era, which is really cool. And I'm seeing there's a Benjamin Franklin reference in here. I'm all about it.
They do that a lot. There's a lot of characters that you get involved with from... You know, just history, just anything that you're used to listening to in social studies, all those characters that they name drop.
Oh, for sure.
You interact with all of them.
For sure. All right. We're about halfway through as all the games listed. So real quick, we're going to take a commercial break to plug one of our other BICBP Radio Network shows. We'll be right back in 30 seconds. I'm Matt Johnson.
I'm Greg Knowlton.
And I'm Chris Gello.
And we are the hosts of the Panel Discussion Podcast, where we take and review comic books of old, comic books of new, and of all sorts of varieties, like the action variety,
the weird or emotional variety,
the goofy, crazy, or just plain outrageous variety.
Give us a listen if you need a little direction next time you go to the comic book store, every Monday, right here on the BICBP Radio Network. Check us out. All right, there you have it. Panel discussion every Monday on the BICBP Radio Network. Check it out. Good talks all the time.
Hells yeah.
Christian knows firsthand.
Thanks again for having us, man.
Dude, that was fun.
That was a great episode.
They were very happy with how like, it was so cool getting you guys to meet. And
dude, that was fun.
It was a good time.
I listened back to it, and you can really tell, like, we were having a good ass time, dude.
I don't think I've laughed that much ever doing a podcast.
Dude, that was fun. We got to do that way more.
Oh, we will. I want to bring them on this show eventually, too.
Hell yeah.
So, all right. Moving along. We're in the Italian, back to the Italian Renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
Assassin's Creed Identity. That's actually a phone game, so we won't delve too much into it, but the plot is this. An Italy assassin is patrolling Monteriggioni when he spots a group of Borgia mercenaries disguised as tax collectors. Although the assassin kills all of the mercenaries, the thief escapes with the contents of a chest belonging to the assassins. The thief is revealed to be Pietro de Galencia, a Borgia agent working undercover in Monteriggioni. These damn Italian names are so long and extra. So there's a little side one. I don't know the duration of the phone games. I can't imagine they're that long, but I do think it's cool that they have those. All right. To the French Revolution. This is one I would be interested in as well. French history interests me quite a bit. Mm. And this one's Assassin's Creed Unity. Unity. What?
I'm just letting out my Batman grunt from Justice League Dark. This game, okay, they meant well with this game.
So it didn't turn out well.
If you want to talk about some of the weirdest glitches you've ever seen in video games, just go look up Assassin's Creed Unity on YouTube. They did this one very specific glitch that was just so weird during cutscenes, where the person's face you're talking to would go completely clear with the exception of his eyeballs.
That's crazy.
So you just see like floating eyeballs while his head's just like moving and having dialogue with you. It's just so creepy.
That's creepy. I don't like that. It sounds like it should be a creepypasta or something, like one of those things
we
were watching.
It was weird, dude. I'm telling you, because like there were so many glitches in that game, because the point of it being Unity was where they were trying to like really bridge the online gap. So like you can do missions together as a group. So the premise for it was brilliant. And then they started bringing different weaponry, different ways to personalize your character where you look totally different from the next assassin next to you.
Right.
So I was like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for Assassin's Creed. But just poor execution. Like, it later got to what they were probably trying to accomplish originally, but by that time I was like already turned off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, sometimes if games don't catch your attention right away, if they're a screw-up too early, then, there's no coming back.
And Assassin's Creed drops like Madden, so there's another game coming in a few months anyway. So
That is a good point. They do Assassin's seem to Creed drop one every lot. Year. Every year since 2007.
Yeah, they drop a lot, so.
It's crazy.
I'm on to the next one by that time.
Next one. All right, the next one is Assassin's Creed Chronicles China. That is for PS4, Xbox One, Windows, PS Vita. It deals with the Ming Dynasty from 1526 to 1532 AD. Any experience playing that one?
Absolutely not.
I even heard of it.
I never even knew that existed until you just said that.
It sounds cool.
I'm sitting here like, what are you talking about?
So this one, here's the plot for this one. China takes place after the short film Assassin's Creed Embers. The gameplay takes place in 1526 China and focuses on the female protagonist, Xiao Jun. After being trained by legendary Italian assassin Ezio Auditore, Xiao Jun returns to her homeland to exact vengeance upon the Templar group, Eight Tigers, who wiped out the Chinese Brotherhood. Xiao Jun's quest, I could be saying her name completely wrong, it's either Jun or Jun. So, my bad.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Xiao Jun's quest takes her through Macau, Nan'an, the Forbidden City, and the Great Wall. As she kills the tigers one by one and finally assassinates the final target, Zhang Yong.
That sounds pretty interesting, actually.
That's really cool.
I'm going to have to check that out. You said those for PS4?
Let me see. PS4 and Xbox One, it came out in 2015.
What? I'm going to have to scoop that up. It's probably mad cheap on PSN.
I'm sure it is. I've never heard of that game before.
Me either. This is blowing my mind, especially being connected to Ezio. I'm very surprised. That's probably lit.
Slid under the radar.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
So yeah, I guess that's what you get when you release games every year.
Dude.
Next up, we have Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Come on, Assassin's Creed. Now, this is where I jumped back into Assassin's Creed hard.
Okay.
This game is very good because you're following twins, Evie and Jacob Fry, and you get to use them both. Yeah, and they have totally different playing styles. Like, she's more stealthy, and he's just like, I'm up in your face, and I'm just throwing the nooks. Like, and you can switch to them so seamlessly. Like, you can change in the middle of a mission, even.
Oh, really?
Like, it's not like you have to go to a different area and be like, all right, cool, I'm
tag out.
No, it's like, boom, right there in the middle of the mission. You want to switch out? Boom. It's super dope. And it's like, they're British, so they're like badass.
Yeah.
And they all got accents. Everybody, all the dialogue is all
pretty
snarky.
Cool. Yeah. Victorian, so it's like it's at the end of the Second Industrial Revolution. So,
And, the scenery by it
this
being
sounds
the
like it
Industrial
might be
Revolution.
The most, is this the most, no, it's not the most modern one. There is one more.
Yeah.
That's pretty modern, but this is relatively modern-esque.
Yeah, this one is nice because you can tell the difference in the weaponry. It's way more advanced now. Like, just the way you're moving around the city, too. you're not just on horses anymore.
Right.
Like, you're actually moving around in cars and things like that. Well, not cars, but, you know, like...
They had trains and, yeah, and trolleys stuff like and that. Stuff like trolleys, that. Carriages.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome.
It was pretty dope.
A couple other good ones coming up here.
And that was one of the ones where the importance of your gang was really good. Like, you can call on gang members to come and, like, help you out. Say you're being attacked, man, by a bunch of people. You can just...
That is a cool little feature.
It was so sick, man. Let me tell you. And then, like, you can have them drive, and you can just hop in the vehicle with them and just hang back and let them, you know, as long as you have the waypoint set, they'll just take you there. It's super dope, man.
That's cool.
That's one of my favorite ones. I still have that. I might have to just let you hold that down.
You might have to.
Yeah, this game.
I wouldn't say no.
This game's sick.
All right, the next game, Assassin's Creed Chronicles. You play this one at all?
Nope.
This one features that Xiao Jun from that China one.
I'm so sad and that I missed out on her.
This one takes place in India from the Sikh Empire. So let's listen to the plot. This has the information for China. Okay, now here we go. All right, India takes place in 1841 India and features the male protagonist, Arbaaz Mir, from graphic novel Assassin's Creed Brahman. While the Sikh Empire was at war with East India Company, a Master Templar arrives with a mysterious item that used to belong to the Assassin Order. Mir must discover why he has come, steal back the item, and protect his friends and his lover. Some of the weapons introduced are a typical Mughal and Sikh sword resembling an Aruval, Urumi, a concealed Katara with Bagnaka, I have no idea what this means, and Chakram, smoke bombs for stealth and distraction, a slingshot. Okay, now I see what they did here. So the way it's listed here on Wikipedia, Chronicles covers these three spinoff ones. So it's India, China, and Russia, which is the next one.
Gotcha.
So we'll
see. I gotta check those out now. Now this is piquing my interest. I never even knew these side chronicle joints existed.
These are cool. Russia takes place in 1918 Russia during the aftermath of the October Revolution.
Oh, so that's the most modern one.
That is the most modern one, and features male protagonist Nikolai Orlov from comic book Assassin's Creed Subject 4. Orlov wants to leave with his family, but is required to perform one last mission for the Assassin Order: infiltrate the house where the Tsar's family is being held by the Bolsheviks and steal an artifact that has been fought for by Assassins and Templars for centuries. Along the way, he witnesses the massacre of Tsar Nicholas II's children, but manages to save the Grand Duchess Anastasia, who shares Xiao Jun's memory. He must escape the Templars while protecting the artifact and Anastasia. Nikolai, who is the character in this, uses a Burdan rifle fitted with a bayonet, which can be used for melee combat with sniping capabilities, and a grapnel gun that can also produce electricity in order to short out electricity boxes, spotlights, lampposts, or kill unsuspecting enemies standing on water puddles.
Now that's nice.
That is a cool feature. Anastasia also becomes a playable character with a unique set of skills, including the Helix Blade. That, I like that.
That's dope.
Because I like... Russian history is pretty cool to me, too, and I feel like that was just a crazy wild time to be a Russian citizen with a complete takeover of government and change. It covers that exact one, so that's amazing.
You, Ubisoft knows how to select the right eras for these games, man.
They really do.
I wasn't picking up on this as heavily before, but I'm like, dang. They know when to throw in some Assassin's Creed.
Yes, they do. All right, and we have two more here. One that came out in 2017, one came out 2018. Assassin's Creed Origins.
I have this.
You have this one?
Yeah.
Talk about it.
This one is cool. It takes place in Egypt. It's like about the Magi and things like that. And it's kind of cool because it's different from your normal fighting style for Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
The original Assassin's Creed... Well, all the ones before this one were like that style, kind of like, you know, if you play Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of War, or if you play like the Batman series or the Spider-Man, it's kind of like that where it's like prompts.
Right.
This one is more like the Darkstalkers type games and things like that. And it's more like block, parry, roll, stuff like that. It's more like the God of War
okay
kind of thing. So
I gotcha.
It's a lot more difficult. but difficult in the good way. And the map is really freaking gigantic. It's not used with the Unreal Engine like the other ones are. This one's like some old other next level open world Anvil Next or something like that. I forgot what it's called.
Okay.
But it's third person's perspective too.
Okay.
Which is a little bit different.
That is different.
Yeah. I like it though. Because when you really get to see like the detail of the weapons and stuff like that a lot better than you would in the other games.
Okay.
Like, because you can really tell that they were taking their time in designing these to make them really accurate what was going
official.
On. Yeah, they looked really, really, really detailed.
Good.
That's probably some of the things that they worked on the most.
This is a cool time period to do, too, with all of that. And the last one, the most recent game, is Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
You know what's funny? I haven't even played this one yet.
And no?
This is the one that I should be playing because I love mythology.
It should be. This is Greek. Yeah, Greek, right? This is Greece?
Yeah. This is like the first time that Assassin's Creed character is going to have like some powers, quote unquote.
I gotcha.
You know? It's more like, it's like more sci-fi, you know?
Yeah. This takes place, let's see, 400 years before the events of Origins. So this is a prequel before that.
Mm-hmm.
So they made an Origins game and then made a prequel to the Origins game.
prequel, baby.
That's right. It recounts the secret fictional history of the Peloponnesian War, which was fought between the city-states of Greece. The player takes on a role of a mercenary and is able to fight for the Delian League, led by Athens, or the Peloponnesian League, led by Sparta. The game's main storyline has the player character attempting to restore their fractured family after they and their sibling were thrown off a cliff in their youth and left for dead by their father by command of the Spartan Oracle. Parallel quest lines deal with the extirpation of a malign cult spanning the Greek world and the discovery of artifacts and monsters from Atlantean times.
Dude, I need to play this. I haven't played it yet because I haven't finished the one before it. What was that one? Origins?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't finished Origins yet. I have a lot of games that I haven't finished yet, but these games are big as hell. I don't have time.
Dude, this is crazy. I'm reading this. The game features a number of historical personages players can encounter and talk to, like Greek historians and philosophers, Socrates, Sophocles, Hippocrates, like all these like well-known.
I knew it.
This is worth it. And all these mythical locations. There's like a lot of mythical locations and stuff, like a statue of Zeus at Olympia.
I'm going to catch it on a sweet sale and snatch it up.
That's not a bad idea. Oh, my God. This is so cool. It makes me, it's like, okay, now I need to play this now.
Yeah, these games are really deep. Like, they go into detail, and I know you're a sucker for, like, all that extra stuff where you can find, like, notes and pages that give you more insight on, like, what the backstory and stuff like that. Especially when you're in the earlier games, when you're exploring outside of the Animus with Desmond Miles, I love like when you get to, I can't remember which game it is. It's either 2 or 3 where he's in like the office and you get to travel around the office and find like and look in people's desks and go to people's computers. And there's so much information you get to find out about Assassin's Creed or what Ubisoft is doing as a company in relation to that game.
Okay.
There's some fun little Easter eggs in there and tidbits for you to find.
I definitely appreciate that
like
stuff.
Emails and stuff you can read that talk about, you know, the connections to the books and things like that. It's really interesting.
Very good. So, as we kind of do with all these franchise stuff and games, what is, how important is Assassin's Creed, the franchise, to video game culture?
I think it's huge because, all the relatability to just the references in history, number one. And I felt like it came out in a time where open world games were being explored more vividly.
Yes.
And I think it was one of the ones that started pioneering the techniques of using the open world, especially like its fighting mechanics and ways you're able to transition from one style of gaming, such as stealth, go right into combat, and then, you know, free roaming and parkour and stuff like that. Because that's another element that they really push the envelope in bringing into games, parkour. Think of how many games you've played, like even the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The way you traverse the rooftops. That was started by Assassin's Creed. They were the first game to do that kind of thing.
Right, right.
So I think that made it so important in making those deep maps that you can just explore the shit out of. Like, I don't know, man. This game is, these games are really deep, and the characters, they make you fall in love with these characters because they're all very interesting in their own way, and they kind of make you pick sides. It's like, no, when when you like one character, that's the one you like.
Right.
So like when everyone's like, no, Altair's, I'm like, what? Altair, what? Ezio, all right? Team Ezio all day.
Now, here's something, too, and I can even help contribute with this one, although I'm not as well-played in Assassin's Creed as you are. Where do you see Assassin's Creed going in the future? Like, and when I say ask that, I think, which eras in history would you like to see them touch on?
I need to see some mob boss stuff going on. I need 1920s. To see like some 20s, like rolling up with some Tommy guns. I need to see that.
That would be cool.
That would be sick. I need to also see, you know, I'm gonna go a little far out here. I want to see some like prehistoric, you know.
I like it.
Like some caveman-esque, something like that, where it's not just like you're not just hunting animals, where there's other factions involved, maybe a little bit more
tribes.
Involved in that, like tribal.
Yeah.
More like, yeah, like more primitive. I want to see something like that.
I gotcha.
That would be cool.
I would like that. I'm thinking, I think the Civil War would be a cool one to
that
do. I
sick.
Think there's a way to include the Knights Templar in that, because obviously they're a very New World Order-esque place. I think that could be effective.
Yeah. I would like, you know, also, I would like an overly modern one, like right now.
Or a modern would be cool, right?
Or like
futuristic one,
yeah.
going into the future to prevent something.
Dude, that would, it definitely could happen, because that company, Abstergo, quote unquote, that they're using, like the technology that they use in the Assassin's Creed games are very advanced.
Yeah.
It's like far and beyond whatever technology is going on.
They would have free range too. As to,
dude, that would be so cool.
Excuse me. What they would want to develop, what they want these futuristic cities. Could you, I mean, look at the detail they put into the previous games based on historical places. Could you imagine the detail they can put into futuristic games?
Dude, imagine
games?
Like a futuristic Manhattan, but Assassin's Creed style.
It'd be like Star Wars, essentially.
That would be so amazing.
That's so cool. Awesome. Great episode, dude. Great episode.
Assassin's Creed's
great topic.
My ish right there.
Yeah.
I got all the pop figures down there.
Yeah, you do. There's definitely something I want to check out.
Yeah, you have to. Especially Black Flag. You got to check out Black Flag. You got to check out Assassin's Creed 2. Those are probably, if I'm going to rank my favorites.
Yeah, go ahead. Do that.
I'd say my number 5 would have to be Assassin's Creed 1. Because although I love Altair, I feel like he's not as important for me in Assassin's Creed lore as other characters are.
Okay.
So, but his game is very important, because that's what made me attracted to Assassin's Creed as a whole. Number 4, I would go with probably Assassin's Creed 3. Because they added a lot of features that wasn't there before, and Ezio is really beasting in Assassin's Creed 3. He's like in rare form in that one. Let's see. What about number 3 would probably be, I had to say, Origins, because I like the new take on the fighting style.
Okay.
It's way more difficult. You have to really, you know, be aggressive. And then you gotta pick your spots, and it really makes you, if you're not used to playing those type of games, it really makes you pay more attention to what's going on. You can't just run up in there hacking and slashing, because you're getting taken down.
Yeah.
And they have like a really nice ecosystem that runs without you even being involved. Like they have animals that are just, sometimes your mission will get complete because you're chasing a guy down and he gets eaten by an alligator. Mission complete. I don't even gotta find this dude. He got 8. So
that's cool.
It's really cool. My number 2 would have to be Syndicate, because Evie and Jacob Fry were pretty freaking awesome.
That was the London game, right?
Yeah, that's okay. The Industrial Revolution. I really love the way you're able to switch between the two, and it's not just like, it's very different when you play with one or the other.
Yeah.
She's very quick and very evasive with her technique, and he's just like, yeah, what's good? You want the hands? Here they are. Like, I love that. And they have different weaponry, too, that Like he uses like this Kane-esque type thing. It's like a club, Billy Club slash Kane kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just, they're just very vastly different, and it makes the game really cool. But my number one is definitely Assassin's Creed 2. That was my introduction to Ezio, and I just felt like really they were catching their stride. They were like, yeah,
we know what we got.
Mm-hmm. We got something good here. We're gonna start really, really cooking it up.
Good.
Yeah, I would have to give, you know, honorable mention to Black Flag.
Black Flag.
Yeah, Black Flag was probably, it was probably the one I put the most hours in, because during that time period, it was when I was like, I think I was in school, okay, so I didn't work as much.
Right.
So I was just really going ham. But
I see what you did there.
Yeah. That game was really fun. Like, that's probably a game that I'm going to go back, and when I do, it's probably going to climb higher on my charts for how I rank it. It's probably going to be higher up, because there's a bunch of stuff that I know I didn't even do because I just wasn't in it for that at the time.
Right.
Now, if I go back and explore that stuff, I'm going to want to do everything. So I think that game has a chance of climbing higher in the ranks for me.
Very good. Very good. There you have it. There is Christian's top five Assassin's Creed games. Mm. And a little message from myself. This will be my last episode for... Not forever.
Don't scare
Not
us.
Not forever. Some people are like, damn.
The fans are like, hush.
Some people are like, damn, I hate this dude. This will be my last episode for the month. The next, I'll miss 3 weeks. I'll be back in four.
Yeah.
I'm getting married.
Yoo-hoo!
Next weekend.
Hip, crazy. Hooray.
Life is going.
Dude.
It's crazy.
And what are you feeling right now, man?
Nervous, mm-hmm, but excited, because I'm really pumped for the cruise vacation afterwards.
Lit. That's going to be awesome.
So I'm ready. I need a vacation. I really do.
Are you going to be able to watch the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay.
Most importantly, I did confirm with Carnival Cruise's Twitter that I can watch the Super Bowl. And I'll actually be sneaking a recording or two in while I'm on the ship late at night when my fiance is asleep. I'm bringing my laptop. I am bringing... the Yeti microphone, so I'm going old school.
I would expect nothing less from you, Matt.
So I'll be up like 10 o'clock, 11 at night, outside on the deck of the pool, or some hidden area where I know no people are going to come and bother me, and I will be recording.
Like just a that. True podcaster.
I know. I'm determined. I don't think she knows yet, and I hope she never does, but...
Please don't let her listen to this episode.
No, she probably... She
don't. Podcast gods, don't let her listen.
She'd probably never listen anyway. She's the worst. So that's cool. I mean, if I had the time, if I could, I would podcast with you guys on the cruise and stuff. But I think it's important for the next month to just focus on everything wedding related.
Yep.
Get situated. Enjoy the cruise.
Don't you worry. We'll hold it down for you.
I know. You and Katie are going to be A-okay. I know it. And I'm looking forward to listening.
Yeah, this is a good chance for me, too, because like as I bridge to go to my other podcast.
That's right. How did your recording go the other day?
I think it went really well. I want to, you know, I decided that I want to make it more polished than I was going to originally. I'm going to add some stuff to it.
Oh,
like,
good.
I'm add some like effects. And like, because I was just going to make it like a raw product and then just like here.
Yeah.
But when I listened back to it, I was like, this has like a lot of character and personality. So I feel like it needs a little bit more. I think the fans would appreciate a little bit more of a personal touch to it.
Okay.
So I'm gonna add some special stuff in there for you guys.
Good.
But spoiler alert, it's called A Year in Review. Now, if you guys really like this when it releases, there's a possibility that I can do other spinoff little episodes of A Year in Review in general, because I just wanted to do this year because, 2018, because a lot of things happened that were like life-changing events for me.
Right.
And I felt like life-changing events happened in pop culture, in comics, and video games this year too. So it was very important for me to discuss those things, and I wanted to like unload all of that baggage I had from 2018 going into the positive things we want to, you know, participate ourselves in for 2019.
Good. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Very good. So I'm looking forward to hearing what Christian has to say.
Yeah, I think you guys will love it.
Yeah.
I think our podcast mates will appreciate it. Will understand where I'm coming from.
I know I will. So yes, for the next 3 episodes, maybe 4 episodes. I don't know how exactly it's going to work, But it'll be the Christian and Caddy show.
Woohoo!
So I'm excited to see what they come up with. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to have some great topics, and they are the people. And, you know, obviously they can bring in guests and stuff. You guys want to get in touch with BJ because you guys will have a little bit more freedom as far as when you can record now since I'm not holding you to Wednesdays.
Right.
So, but well, you better be ready for Wednesdays when I get back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like Wednesdays. It's become my requested day off of the week now.
It's so nice.
Like,
it's,
my job even knows. They're like, oh, yeah, man, maybe we can do it on Wednesday. Oh, wait, no. We can't do it on Wednesday.
That's Christian, the podcast.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. We're in good hands. You guys are in good hands. Christian and Caddy are going to tear it up. I believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll pop in to say hello to them. Probably not on the podcast, but yeah, we're going to be A-okay over here.
Caddy's going to be back next week, so prepare for a lot of curse words, guys.
Yeah,
I know he's going to be unloading for missing a week.
Technically 2 weeks of cursing. Because we had to make sure we didn't
We had to be clean last week. I think we did a really good job.
We did all right. I had to edit out some stuff, and it was like, but it worked. It worked.
Dude.
Awesome.
We are a blossoming, blooming tree here, man.
We are. I love us. I love us. On behalf of Christian and myself, this has been another awesome episode of the Push Start Podcast. #get on our level.
Hell yeah. Continue.